Today on Focal Point, from Pastor Mike Fabares.
God's not the cosmic bug light where you get off the path and then it's gone, man. You're dead. That's not how discipline works. It's relational. You step off the path and he goes, no, that's not it. And all of a sudden now there's this conviction and we feel it and yeah, that's not right. And it's like dad on a couch. You don't want God getting off the couch. If you judge yourself, you wouldn't come under God's judgment.
Sadly, a lot of people see God as a cosmic killjoy, gleefully inflicting punishment. But today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares urges us to view God's discipline in a different light. We're learning to embrace God's discipline as loving correction from our Heavenly Father. Just like a parent will discipline a straying child to keep them on the right path, our Father loves us too much to let us go our own way. Pastor Mike titled this message, Avoiding the High Cost of Selfishness.
Passage with me as we wrap up the end of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Let's see this last installment in this discussion about the importance of making sure that when we approach God and we engage ourselves in church, that we are God-centered and Christ-focused. Look at verse 27. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Remember their potlucks, their gatherings, it culminated in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We talked about that last week and all that means. They were coming with the wrong perspective. They were selfish. This was about them. They weren't seeing what it was really all about. So they were doing it in an unworthy manner. Now make sure you don't get myopic on this passage. The unworthy manner was their whole approach to God, their whole approach to church. And Paul says, listen, if you're going to meet here and it's all about you and it's a selfish motive, and then you're going to try and celebrate the Lord's, man, you just realize that's not good. As a matter of fact, verse 27, you're going to be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So, verse 28, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, then he eats and drinks judgment on himself. There it is, the little discipline aspect. There's going to be trouble. Now here's the key words in this, in the whole entire passage. Underline the next three words in verse 30. That is why. Many among you are three things, weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. That's a euphemism for death. Notice the connector here. That is why your selfish approach to church, you got a sin here going on in your lives and in the church, and that's why you're weak, sick, and some of you have even died. That's what's going on here. Do you not see the connection? Paul is there to point it out. Obviously, they weren't seeing it. Paul is there to clarify it. He wants to show it to them. The challenge for the Corinthians was to make the connection between the that and the hurt. They wanted to see that. Okay? That's the challenge also for us. And I don't know what the issue may be for you, but perhaps there's an issue in life that's painful. Maybe at work, maybe in your home, maybe relationally, maybe wherever, I don't know, economically, financially. But where there's that pain, we need to see if there is a connection. When there is a connection, we need to be careful to see it. Number one on your outline, that's the key. We've got to start with that. We need to, number one, learn to recognize God's discipline. If God is disciplining here, if there's painful things and these are the result of God's discipline in my life, then I want to recognize it. Now, the best way I know to do that is to kind of look through these first few verses and make some observations about discipline, what it is and what it isn't. Letter A. Let's just make this observation from the passage. Ready? Every pain is not a spanking. Every pain is not a spanking. We can find places in Scripture where people are getting weak, sick, and dying, and it's not the discipline of God. As a matter of fact, every righteous person I see in the Bible that God is really thrilled with, guess what? They're dead. They all died. So I'm thinking, death isn't always God's discipline. Sickness isn't always God's discipline. I see that throughout the pastoral epistles. I see that in the Gospels. I realize that not every sickness, not every weakness, not every pain is a spanking from God. So I gotta note that. Not every pain in your life is God's spanking. But it might be. It might be. Letter B. Let's look at it this way. Spankings, let's put it down this way. Spankings are not meant, they're not meant to be mysterious. I know that simply by the fact that Paul's clarifying it. God put Paul out there to write the letter to say, hey, you're sick, you're weak, and some of you are dying because, those three words we underline, this is why these things are happening. See, if they weren't going to get it on their own, God was going to send somebody to clarify it. Let's put it down this way. Spankings may not seem to be related to the disobedience. Spankings may not seem to be related to the disobedience. Here's what Paul has said in our passage. You got this selfish approach to worship. You guys come with the totally wrong motives. That is why some of you are weak, sick, and some have died. So if I ask the question from a theological perspective, why are they weak, sick, and some have died in Corinth? What's the answer? They've been disobedient. See, but if you ask me about why I got the flu on Wednesday, my first answer is probably going to be because I shook all those germ-infested hands last weekend. I must have shook, I don't know, 2,000 hands. See, I'm asking the question, why did I get sick? And I'm going immediately to the physical, earthbound answers. And you know what? Why did the Corinthians get sick? Same reason I got sick this week. Germs. That's why they got sick. But that's not really the reason that's important, is it? The real important reason is, you know what? God's not happy with what's going on in your life. That's why you got sick. And so I have to ask the question on Wednesday, and I need to say, God, I don't just want to look at my hygiene patterns on the weekend. I really need to be asking about something else. Is there something else in my life going on here? Are you trying to say something here? Because God is involved in everything in our lives. And if we don't see that, if we don't recognize that, then we're going to miss an opportunity to hear from a corrective word from God. Okay, God, you want me to move over here, and I've been going here. I'll listen to that. Fourthly, let's just jot it down this way. Letter D, all spankings are not created equal. Let's just put it down like that. Here's three things in our passage. Some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you have died. There are your choices. Which do you want? You know, if I got weakness, sickness, and death to choose from, I choose weakness. But see, God is employing all three of those in the Church of Corinth. We may think, well, maybe it's because some people were doing it worse than others. Perhaps, but I think there's a lot more of a personal reason for this. Same reason I know that in my parenting, my discipline with my kids is a little different, right? Isn't yours with yours? Isn't that how it works? Age alone is a reason to treat my kids differently in their discipline. Everybody needs to look at their discipline in relation to their relationship with God and realize sometimes my discipline looks different than someone else's. Don't let their lack of discipline be an excuse that maybe I'm not being disciplined now. Learn to recognize God's discipline. Every pain's not a spanking. Spankings aren't meant to be mysterious. Spankings may not seem to be related to the disobedience. All spankings are not created equal. Those are some observations, verses 27 through 30. We look at those, we may be able to look at things in our lives and know which bucket to put it in. Great. Now if we've maybe said, okay, there are some things I'm seeing here in my life that I do think are because of this thing over here. And because I said they may not be related, it may be like this issue at work, I'm compromising at work, And all of a sudden now there's some issue in my health. Or it may be that things are, fall apart at work and it's because I'm not treating my wife properly or whatever. See what I'm saying? They may not seem related. But now that I've identified, okay, yeah, God, you've made it clear to me. I see that I got a problem here and that's why this is happening. That's why you're employing this painful situation. See, now I got to know what to do to respond to it. There's some responses here. Look at verse 31, next verse. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. That's the first thing. That's a bit of a proactive step. Corinthians are a little bit past that, but maybe you're not. If we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Verse 33 continues the advice for us here. Verse 33 says, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. Now, in verse 21, the problem was they weren't waiting for each other. Very selfish, it's all about them. It was me first. He's saying, let's not have that anymore. There's a solution. And in verse 34, it says, if anyone is hungry, he should eat at home. Verse 21 talked about how they weren't eating at home. They were coming really hungry. Some people were gorging themselves. Even some people over here were getting drunk. This is not right. So eat at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. That will stop the judgment. That will stop the spanking. And then when I come, I can give further instructions. What Paul is doing here is trying to say, and it's very, very, very simple. Listen, if you stop this, the spanking stops. Okay? Number two on your outline, let's put it this way. Here's good advice for us. Let us quickly respond to God's discipline. Quickly respond to it. As a matter of fact, let's do it like verse 31 so quickly that we deal with it before it really starts. Did your dad have a bit of a fuse that burned, you know? Not in a bad way, but in the sense that when you know you crossed the line, there was that, no, son, don't do that. It's not good. And then you kind of push it a little further. You keep doing that. Son, you don't, and there's that fuse burns. And then it hits. And Dad getting off the couch. And now it's judgment time. See? Did your dad have that? There was that period in there. Now, the good idea would be to deal with the issue before Dad gets off the couch. See? That would be the best scenario. We need to, verse 31, judge ourselves so that we wouldn't come under judgment. Because again, God's not the cosmic bug light where you get off the path and then bzz, it's gone, man. You're dead. That's not how discipline works. It's relational. You step off the path and he goes, no, that's not it. No. And all of a sudden now there's this conviction and we feel it. And yeah, that's not right. And it's like Dad on a couch. You don't want God getting off the couch. Just, okay, fix it now. If you judge yourself, you wouldn't come under God's judgment. That's the critically important part. There's three aspects that help us, three things that help us, three ingredients. His word, doesn't that clarify it for us, what's right and what's wrong? God's word. You got another thing. You got God's spirit, that if you're a Christian, he now dwells in you. The ultimate odd couple, right? Now it's Felix and Oscar living here inside. You got your spirit, you got God's spirit. And hear God's spirits all the time going, that ain't right. No, that's not how it should be done. You're a mess, man. Don't pick that up. And you got that conviction of the Spirit. He comes, the Bible says, to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Then you got that third thing that you were born with, even before you became a Christian. It's called your conscience. Your conscience. That's another thing that helps us. All three of those things ought to be utilized between the time we step off the path and the time God gets off the couch. We ought to say, okay, I ought to respond sensitively and quickly to God's word, God's spirit, and the conscience he gave me. And those will help get me to judge myself before I come under judgment. I don't want God's judgment. All right, there's one verse we missed, verse 32. Let's pick it up now. We skipped over verse 32 because verse 31 and verses 34 and 33 and 34 deal with the solution. But there was a little verse here, a little commentary in verse 32 that we need to pick up now. In verse 32, it says, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Makes that distinction. The world, certain kind of judgment, it's different. It's called condemnation. You know, judgment here, you know what, we're different and God loves us. That's why this is discipline. This seems to be framed grammatically as a very positive statement. Right? When we're being judged, hey, we're being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now, I'm supposed to like applaud or something at the end of that sentence. Right? I'm supposed to see that as a positive. Now, it's very hard to see that as a positive, especially when you're being spanked. I recognize that stuff. But that is what Paul is trying to get them to do, to see some kind of value in this, to have some kind of appreciation for it. Now, I know it's hard. It's tremendously hard. That's why the word try is at the beginning of point number three on your outlines. But I do think we need to try as best we can. And maybe you're going to save this principle for later in your Christian maturity, but let us at least start now, number three, to try to appreciate God's discipline. Let's just try and appreciate it. Now, I know that's hard because if you see kids on a playground, you'll never hear this conversation. Hey, man, I just so appreciate the way my dad spanks me, man. It's so neat that he does. Oh, yeah, that's cool because, you know, my mom grounds us a lot, and I just so appreciate the fact that She disciplines us like that. Well, mine just, took my allowance away for 2 weeks. Yes, my dad's really cool. That's not happening. Because it's hard as a child to see the value of discipline when you're a child. And as perennial children of God, it's hard for us to stand back and really go, hey, isn't it great that we're disciplined by God? Especially when we're in the middle of it. It's very hard to say. But you know what? There is a sense in which we need to try our best to say, now, in some kind of abstract way, can I see that this is good? Can I see that this is helpful? One last passage. Turn to Hebrews 12, a classic passage on God's discipline. I want you to see the analogy here that helps us learn to appreciate it. He gives us a great parallel. Or verse 5. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement. Now, that's hard, but it's certainly a mature perspective. The word of encouragement that is addressed to you as sons. What's that word of encouragement? My sons, Old Testament passage, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you because the Lord disciplines those he loves. See, and there's supposed to be something good about that. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you are disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. Because God disciplines every son he gets. That's how he works. He's a dad. And for those of us that were disciplined by our parents, I think we can maturely stand back, can't we, and say it was sure a good thing that that happened. As a matter of fact, when you look at people that weren't disciplined as children, have you run into some of those? You start to say, I sure am glad my parents cared enough about me to discipline me. As a matter of fact, in a whole generation, don't get me started on this one, but in a whole generation of people now that give up on discipline and they think it's going to tweak them psychologically or whatever, and so we don't do it because they'll end up on Oprah or whatever, so we don't discipline our children, or Phil now, I guess, Dr. Phil. Look at what it's produced. It's produced a generation of children that we expect to be, you know, into whatever they want to be into. Think about it. We expect children, the whole philosophy and foundation of logic today and dealing with kids today, whether it's a condom discussion or drugs or needles or whatever, it's that, you know what, they're kids, they're going to do it, right? They're going to have sex, they're going to drink, they're going to smoke, they're going to take drugs. It's just going to happen because they're kids. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, you know, a generation ago, at least when I was growing up, I knew that I would be disciplined for those things. So guess what? I didn't do them. And a lot of you didn't do them either because we had parental discipline in our lives. And we recognized that because of that discipline and even the threat of that discipline, we said no to things that we might have otherwise said yes to. As the scripture says, and the Proverbs are true, the child left to himself becomes a disgrace to his mother. That's how it works. As a matter of fact, he says, if we don't discipline our children, we become a willing party to his death. In other words, there is a self-destructive pattern that happens. Therefore, we don't let kids go on their own. Discipline's an important part of our parent-child relationship. Now, that's not what we're talking about this morning, but I am saying as a child, I can look back at mom and dad and I can say, I'm sure glad they disciplined me because they saved me from death, 100 lesser deaths than being dropped in a box 6 feet under. They saved me from the scars of dozens and dozens of things because they were faithful to put the paddle to my fanny, see? So that was very helpful for me, and I'm so glad they did. Now, I didn't sit around on the playground and say that, but I say it now. And so it is that maybe we can project to the end of this life and say, aren't we glad that God applied the pain to our lives to keep us out of the trouble we might have otherwise gotten into had we not been disciplined by our Heavenly Father? Man, we ought to. As a matter of fact, the passage wraps up with that positive note. Our fathers, verse 10, disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. He knows exactly what's best, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline, verse 11, seems pleasant at the time. I can say right on to that. It's painful, but later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Man, if you and I could project into the end of our lives and see what our lives would be like were God not to apply discipline to our lives, we would see a whole different outcome. But we need to be thankful in some kind of mature way for God's discipline in our lives. Let's try our best to appreciate the fact that because God loves us, because He loves us, He corrects us with painful events. I don't know what the painful event is in your life, and I know it's hard right now to see it as a positive or a plus or an asset, but if God is disciplining you in your relationships, at work, maybe in your health, like these Corinthians, and it is something you can tie to sin and disobedience in your life, let us just stand back and say we're grateful for that. If you ever ask kids, and certainly I've asked mine, what animal would you be if you could be any animal you wanted to be? It's interesting the answers you get. You get answers like, I want to be a lion or a tiger. One of my kids was always talking about being a cheetah because he thinks he's so fast, you know. I'm a cheetah. My other kid, strangely enough, wants to be an elephant, right? I want to be an elephant. He's got this complex of some kind of big elephant. Squirt water out my nose. Whatever, I don't know what his thing is, but be an elephant. See? Even countries. Notice how countries adopt these animals to represent the eagle, the bear, the lion. All these, those are, you know, big, strong animals. You know, you'll never find countries or children saying, you know what I'd really like to be? A lamb. I just would be a sheep. You know, that little sheep. Now, I know we don't get exposed to them much. My father-in-law used to own this great place overlooking L.A., and he had on this hill sheep and goats. I don't know why, whatever, but that's another sermon. But he had these sheep. And I remember going there, and when Carla and I would go and hang out with her dad, I remember looking at these sheep, and I would always, you know, when I got to know these sheep, I think, how stupid these animals are. There was one in there in the pen, and it was a pretty big pen, but he would do this. He would walk in circles all day long. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with that animal? Oh, you know, sheep, whatever. So I learned that sheep are tremendously stupid. Certainly no one wants to be that. Do you know there are over 600 references in Scripture to us being not just God's children, but sheep? Now, I'm not thinking that's a compliment, right? But you know, when we get to know ourselves, when we start to understand the role of the shepherd, we get around to the place of recognizing, you know what? It makes sense that we would concede that description and say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know that list, and we learned it as kids, all these great things. He makes me lie down by still waters and prepares a table in the presence of my enemies and the shadow of death. All these great things. But then there's that weird enigmatic statement. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I don't know what you know about the rod and staff of the shepherd, but you know, the staff, for instance, had that big crook on the end of it. Remember that? And that was for when those sheep would walk in circles, I guess, or whatever. And we were like, no, tally-ho, you know, going this way. And you had to take that crook and take the neck of that, and you got to yank them sometimes. And then there was the rod, which was a 2-foot club that these shepherds carried around in the ancient Near East. And if you had one that just would not get on the path and would not get going, you've heard the stories, right? What would the shepherd do with that little lamb? He'd take that rod and he'd break that animal's leg. Now, that's not a fun day, right? But the great thing is the shepherd's doing that for the good of the animal, and he would not leave them there for a nice little wolf snack later in the afternoon. He would take that animal, you've seen the pictures, bind the wound that he had created, put oil on it, bandage it up, then pick that little lamb up, you've seen the pictures, right? And put that lamb over the shoulders of that shepherd. And then the shepherd would continue. If you're not going to come with me, I got to get you to come with me. We're going to inflict some pain here. And hopefully we'll learn our lesson and we'll move forward. And the scripture says in some weird way that your rod and your staff, they are a comfort to me. I'm grateful. I'm grateful, and I ought to be grateful that God loves me so much as my shepherd that he's not going to let me stray and just go down the path that I want to go down. God is a God of correction. C.S. Lewis said, you know, God rarely speaks more clearly or more loudly than when he speaks to us in pain, in our painful events. And so it is that the rod and staff of our great shepherd ought to be a comfort to us.
Not an easy message, but an important perspective for the difficult seasons. God's discipline is a reflection of his love. You're listening to Focal Point, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Mike Fabares. Now, if you joined us a bit late today, or if you'd like to browse through Pastor Mike's previous messages, you can find the complete sermon archive online, free of charge, at focalpointradio.org or on your favorite podcasting app. At Focal Point, we believe in studying all of Scripture, even the parts that make us uncomfortable. It's all God's Word, and it's all important. And if you believe in this straightforward approach to Bible teaching, without sugarcoating or watering down, would you join with us by donating today to keep Focal Point strong? We often see a lull in the summer months, as people are away from their usual routines, and giving can fall to the back burner. So if you've never given, or if it's been a while, now is a great time to express your support. Here's the number to call, 888-320-5885, or go to focalpointradio.org. And when you do, we'll say thanks with a fascinating and timely book called Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality. If you've ever struggled to articulate a biblical view of gender and sexuality, or if you're not sure why it even matters, this book offers a clear, concise explanation, presented with grace, love, and compassion. We highly recommend it. And again, you're invited to request a copy when you donate today. Mention the book Love Thy Body when you give by calling 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or go to focalpointradio.org. If you'd rather send your donation by mail, here's our address. Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. Well, I'm Dave Drewy, so glad to have you along. And be sure to come back Thursday when we'll talk about embracing God's plan for your life. That's coming up next time, right here on Focal Point.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's Word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's Word moving in your heart right now?
drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.